Welcome to the Three Pillars of D&D cast. I'm Jesse.
I'm Emma.
I'm here.
Alright, today we're going to be talking about the Druid class. Whether calling on the elemental forces of nature or emulating the creatures of the animal world, Druids are an embodiment of nature's resilience, cunning, and fury. They claim no mastery over nature. Instead, they see themselves as extensions of nature's indomitable will.
When you guys think of Druid, what do you guys think of? Like, you know, I think of the traditional, you know, old man in the woods with a staff.
I usually think of, wannabe hippies who want to be Druids. But I think of that a lot.
Druids are literally just naked hippies.
In a way, but I like that they're not, tied to gods necessarily. They're tied to nature itself. Like, they want to preserve nature, or they want to...
Yeah, they're like an embodiment of nature. That's
yeah.
How they see themselves. And, well, like, some want to preserve nature. Others destroy nature, understanding that nature needs to be destroyed and rebuilt, honestly.
Yeah, and then there's the kind of druid who is like, who just lives in nature. You know, they're part of the cycle. They're not trying to stop. They're just trying to stop the unnatural from hitting nature to a certain degree. Though I should point out, if you need a really good example of a druid, there is the Lorax. He speaks with the trees.
I didn't even hear that.
It's kind of a silly version, but hey, there you go.
The best version of Druids.
Okay, so there's like Shino and Naruto, kind of, because he's like a beast companion. And as his beast companion, so he's kind of like a ranger, but more like a druid in that he can go more animalistic and
yeah,
kind of go bestial in a way.
But and also there's a new druid feature where they can summon companions.
Yeah. There's that.
And then there's Lizana Strauss, whatever, however her name. And she can literally turn into any animal.
The anime fairy tale.
In the anime fairy tale. So it's a lot of made up animals, but can turn into any animal.
And then you have, of course, in Harry Potter, they change it like
Minerva.
Yeah.
Minerva is the ultimate.
Yeah, she turns into the cat, and then you have Sirius, who turns into the dog a lot. Of course, Wormtail, who turns into a rat. I mean, they kind of limit themselves to one form, but...
they can still do it.
Since I know lots of people who, when they play Druid, only just turn into a bear. I don't see how it's much different.
Why would you exclusively turn into a bear? It's not even the best giant mammal you can turn into.
I know, but...
It's dire wolf.
Do.
Dire wolf is just like the best. I'm getting off topic.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah,
we'll get to that later. But, so there's that. But basically, you know, they're going to be your nature people.
Yeah. Ultra hippies.
Ultra hippies. Alright, so.
As a druid, you gain the following class features. You get, a D8 for your hit dice, which is decent.
It's not low. It's not high, but it's not low.
It's kind of low. Yeah, it's above, like, wizard and sorcerer, but...
Yeah, for a full caster?
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, it's good for full caster.
You get proficiencies, you get light armor, medium armor, and shields, though you will not wear any armor or shields made of metal. So, there are a lot of different ways to get around that. You could use wood, you could use, like, scale mail of sort. You could, you know, use animal furs or hides. You could make a shield out of bone.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was a stretched canvas or something like that.
I would use shields and, like, armor made out of metal.
that's the main point of the, well, not rear armor, use shields and metals to stop druids from wearing, like, heavy armor, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't make full plate out of hide.
You can't. And it's to give them some better protection than some of the other, spellcasters, but not make them too powerful. Then you have weapons. You can do clubs, daggers, darts, javelins, maces, quarterstaffs, scimitars, sickles, slings, and spears. So it's just, you know, more of your more basic weapons. It's not a bad, spread. You have some finesse weapons in there, some light weapons, and you have some just normal fashion weapons, so it's good, depending on what build you want to use. You get the herbalism kit as a tool. Your saving throws are intelligence and wisdom, so it's going to make you pretty good at withstanding most spells. Then you get to choose two skills from Arcana: animal handling, insight, medicine, nature, perception, religion, and survival. Which is a nice spread. I like the, as we said before, animal handling and insight to the beginner, social interaction related kind of skills. We have perception, survival, and nature for your exploration kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's pretty good. At first level, you know Druidic, the secret language of Druids. You can speak the language and use it to leave hidden messages. You and others who know this language automatically spot such message. Others spot the message presence with a successful DC 15 perception check, but can't decipher it without magic. Also, the big thing is you're a spellcaster. So, at level 1, you get 2 cantrips you can pick from the druid spell list. You get a third one at level 4, and a fourth one at level 7, I believe. And then, you progress like every other full caster does, essentially, when it comes to spells. Druids, like clerics, you pretty much have access to your full spell list. You're just choosing each day which ones you want to prepare.
Yeah.
And you just decide at the end of the day which ones you want, that you want to, kind of, like, you don't really pray as a druid, but you just kind of focus on what you want to do for the day. So, there's that. They also have the bonus of being ritual spellcasters. So, the few druidic spells that are actually ritual spells, there's not many. I think it's like 3 or 4. You can cast as rituals too. So there's that. You have the druidic, spell focus you can use. Usually it's obviously something very nature related.
The stick.
And then at first level you have some new optional ones from Conscious as well.
What? First level.
Yeah, mine. So some additional first level druid spells are Protection from Evil and Good.
Which is a good spell.
The second level spell is Augury, Continual Flame, Enlarge, Reduce, and Summon Beast. The third level is Aura of Vitality, Elemental Weapon, Revivify, Summon Fae. Fourth level is Divination, Fire Shield, Summon Elemental. Fifth level is Core of Coal. Sixth level is Flesh of Stone. Seventh level is Symbol. And eighth is Incendiary Club. Incendiary Club.
And ninth level, you get shit, because people who play that high don't deserve spells.
Exactly. No, but I do like that you get to use Revify. They added that to the spell list. I like that you can summon beasts and elementals, just adds some extra cool abilities for the druid as a spellcaster. So, yeah, I like that.
Oh, yeah, Revivify is good.
Let's see here. I mean, I wasn't expecting Kona Cold, but hey, why not? And then the second level, you get
wild shape, and start. So, you get two wild shape charges, and then you can use one to turn into a beast. And at second level, you can only turn up a beast into a beast of challenge rating four or lower that doesn't have a flying or swimming speed. But at fourth level, it turns into one half, and it can gain a swimming speed. And at eighth level, you can turn into a CR1 monster, and there's no other restrictions.
And the nice part is A, it recharges after a short or a long rest,
which
is really nice. The hit points you lose for any of the form you happen to be in don't count against your actual hit points, so it's kind of like giving yourself a big pool of temporary hit points that aren't called temporary hit points, so you can stack temporary hit points on top of that, which is kind of nice as well. It's just one of those really useful abilities.
It only changes you, like, physically, you know, like, you still have your same mind and all your same stats. So theoretically, as a bear, if you could give your bear self the ability to speak common, you could charm a shopkeeper.
There you go. But since you don't naturally have the ability to speak, if you combine it with something like telepathy or something, like is burning your as a feat or a racial feature or something, you could actually do quite a bit with this beast form. So I really like it, and a lot of people really like this.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, this is one of the ones that changes quite a bit depending on which druidic circle you pick later on.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to have different ways that you can change up your wild shape or use your wild shape charges.
There's really only one druidic.
Well, no, other ones let you change how you use your wild shape charges, though.
Oh, true.
So.
Okay. Can't cast spells and stuff like that.
But you can still concentrate on spells.
That you've
already cast. So, if you combine your spells the right way, you can do some pretty clever stuff. Of course, if you're changing form, you're probably jumping into the fray. And that's what kind of makes the druid more of a up-close combat character.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of go from being a spellcaster to being a melee fighter.
The great part about the druid is like, once you run out of your spell slots, you can just go up and do probably the most damage out of the whole group. It'll turn into a bear. Most damage, most hit points.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then at second level, you also get to choose your druid circle, of course.
Yeah, and we'll discuss those in a future video.
Yes!
Those and go over some examples. Then there's an optional feature from Tasha's as well.
So at second level, you get Wild Companion. You gain the ability to summon a spirit that issues an animal form. As an action, you can expend the use of your Wild Shape feature to cast the Find Familiar spell without material components. After you cast this spell in that way, the familiar is a fae instead of a beast, and the familiar disappears after a number of hours equal to half your druidic level.
Yes.
So, that's pretty good. That way, if you're in a campaign where you're not going to be fighting people so much, you can use your wild shape charge to do something like, find a familiar. There's a lot of uses for a familiar investigation kind of campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you can also still wild shape. You know, if you wild shape into like a rat, you can fit into small spaces. If you wild shape into a bat, you can fly around and fit small spaces.
No, it's true. I mean, there are plenty of uses outside of combat for wild shape.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's something you got to really keep in mind. Everybody usually just assumes you want to use it for smashing things, but you can actually use it for quite a lot of different things.
Yeah, you can use it for social interaction and smashing things.
Yeah, which is great.
And then, of course, ability score improvements. But you also get a wild shape improvement at level 4.
And that's when it goes into a half
CR,
and you can get a swim speed, basically.
Yep.
There you go. And then, okay, ability score level 4. And then there's one last option.
One last one that's mine! So, level 4, you get catch-up versatility. When you reach a level in this class that grants the ability score improvement feature, you can replace one cantrip you learned from this class while casting a feature with another cantrip from the Druid spell list.
Which is nice, because if your campaign changes or you know, if you just need something different, you have good first level, second level spells that you don't want to use the cantrips as much anymore.
Yeah, you could
really change it up.
You should mending at first level thinking it was good and then want to, you know, choose an actually useful cantrip. Then you can.
Exactly. Actually, I like mending, but...
Yes, so do I.
But it depends on your campaign, though. Sometimes you just really don't get a lot of uses for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at level 8, you have the wild shape improvement. Then you can get to the CR1.
And this like shows just how simple druids are. You know, besides from wild shape, they have barely any abilities.
Yeah, and there's an appendix in the monster's manual that has just beasts in it, like common beasts in it that you can give your newer players to look at, so they can just kind of find something simple for themselves to change into that doesn't have to be too complicated.
Yeah,
you know, so. Yeah, I haven't really thought about it too much, but this isn't a super complicated spellcasting class for new players. I mean, they do get to choose any spell they want when they prepare their spells each day, which is good because they're going to, unlike other spellcasting classes where you have to really map out what you want to do as you go through your character, you can switch it up every day.
Yeah.
Figure out what spells you like and stuff. And that's kind of nice for new players. And, of course, you know, older players who really know what they're doing can really take advantage of it, too.
Yeah, like, I'm an experienced player, and I love this class. This is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Like, ever. Like, it's my second favorite class, but it's behind Paladin.
There you go.
So, before we continue on any further, let's take a quick break.
Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week. Come on, Dark Brennan.
How about you, you filthy timepiece?
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is...
when they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like... Don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table, featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful. And now I'm not in the water, and that's... much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
You don't have to know where there's, like, secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks! Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're gonna have a good laugh, then we're gonna possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.
So, welcome to the Shameless Plug Break.
Shameless Plug!
So, we still got our contest going on as of when this comes out. Just for a few more days, it's going to go until March 12th. In order to enter, you simply go on Twitter or Instagram, use the hashtag #ThreePillarsCast, and you're entered to win. You have to also share an episode, but it can be a podcast, a video, whatever, you know. And just share it with your followers, and you'll be entered to win. Of course, the prize is Candlekeep Mysteries, D&D Beyond. It's just a digital copy.
Yeah.
But we're giving it on the 12th. That way you still get the pre-order bonuses to go with it. So
pre-order bonuses.
So, I mean, which isn't very much, but, you know, nice to have extra dice and backups. So,
oh, yeah, that is nice.
There you go. So speaking of which, our Twitter account is at OurDorky. You can also just search for Three Pillars of D&D Cast. That's the name I use on it. It's Our Dorky Family on Instagram.
Yeah, that's me. Hi.
And then we have a Gmail account as well, at Our Dorky Family, or OurDorkyFamily@gmail.com, I should say. On all three of those, you're welcome to ask us questions, suggest topics for episodes, anything you want, really. Just tell we're awesome, tell us we suck, whatever you want to do. And, yeah, there you go. It's if you're listening to this on a podcast, and you should know, we also have a YouTube, which isn't much different. Some videos have, like, some fun pictures and stuff. Most of them are just our smiling faces. And
or most of the time, staring blankly into the camera faces.
Exactly. And then, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube and you'd rather have it on podcast, it's available on at least 8 different podcast formats. If it's not on the one you listen to, you know, let us know, Twitter, Gmail, Instagram, that it's not available on the one you listen to, and I'll work on getting it put there. So
we'll do our very best.
I think that's everything.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
that sounds good. Let's get back
to the show. Woo! Showtime!
Timeless Body. Starting at 18th level, the chronal magic that you feel causes you to age more slowly. For every 10 years that pass, your body ages only 1 year.
There you go. It
allows you to live longer.
But and it makes sense. Like, you see a lot of, you know, the few media things you think see with druids and stuff like that is that they tend to live a long time. They kind of have that eternal one with nature
feeling.
Yeah,
like that's how they know everything about nature is that they've been there a long time.
Yeah, so, like, that timeless nature is just kind of evocative of druids. So it makes sense, and I'm glad that they yeah. threw it in there. Then, let's see here. The next we have Beast Spells. At 18th level, you can cast as many of your druid spells in any shape you assume, assuming you're using wild shape. You can perform the somatic and verbal components of a druid spell while in a beast shape, but you aren't able to provide the material components. So, basically, this just makes your wild shape even better.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah. It's a really nice improvement, you know, combined with the timeless body. You don't see that with a lot of higher level abilities where you get two actually kind of nifty ones. I mean, one's useful and the other one's flavorful. So, yeah. I kind of like that.
And then at 20th level, you can use your wild shape an unlimited amount of time, which is nice. And additionally, you ignore the verbal and somatic components of your druid spells, as well as any material components that lack cost and aren't consumed by a spell. You gain this benefit in both your normal shape and your beast shape from wild shape.
And that was Arch Druid.
Yes. Just for, I thought I said that.
For to specify that. Yeah, then so, like, basically you just get to do all the druid things you want and however you want.
Yeah, you can be an animal all the time, 24/7.
Yeah. You can go around as an annoying, you know, mouse and, you know, cast polymorph on people who aren't suspecting it, or...
By the time that's a level, well, your wild shape lasts, like, 10 hours, so you can take a long rest, wild shaped. So you can be an animal all the time.
That's true. I mean, and if you're by yourself, that's actually an advantage, like... You need to, like, hide in a little hole, like, in the bottom of a tree or something, because people are coming after you. You can take a long rest and maintain your shape. That's pretty cool. Be able to, you know, since at that point you can take a flying shape and stuff like that, you can fly around as a bird or a bat or something like that.
Yeah.
Cast all kinds of spells and do stuff. I mean, it's weird that eventually as... a druid to become the ultimate infiltrator. you know, you become like one of the best melee classes. And at the same time, you're a full caster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're a full caster, or with your wild shape, you can have a bunch of stealth options. And, of course, melee, you turn into a bear.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many good things you can do once you get the highest levels of being a
I know, and some classes, I think, all exemplify. Of course, some are better than others, but each one has their own niche about the druid that they tackle. You know, dream covers healing and stuff like that.
No, like, yeah, each of them have their aspect. Of course, you know, the moon is the most famous one. But
it's the best.
But, yeah, I mean, there's just so much you can do with it. It's actually a really interesting and cool class. I never really got to play one all that much. You're playing one now. So, we'll see how that goes.
I played the drill a little. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody I know who's played a druid enjoyed it. So, this isn't a very complicated class, like we've said before. And so,
of course, it is a spellcaster, so that immediately raises the bar. But as long as you understand spellcasting, you're pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a nice intermediary class, definitely. Yeah.
Especially since spellcasting isn't even the main part of the druid. Most of the time, wild shape is really great for combat. You're not always going to be casting a spell.
Exactly. So, well, there you go. That's the druid. That's all we have for this this episode. So, thanks for watching.
Yeah. Thank you.
Like and subscribe, because this is our fifth take. Bye.
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 At least your head's still connected.
I hate you.